God is spirit. They who would worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. May we worship God with the singing of hymn number 48. We're happy to have as guests of our campus for the next 2 days two consultants from the Vocational Guidance Program of our Baptist Sunday School Board, Dr. Lee Garner and Dr. Clyde Walker. We've asked Dr. Garner to come and read our scripture, and then Dr. Walker to lead us in prayer. Dr. Garner.
I'm going to be reading from a responsive reading entitled Ideal Church Leaders. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Would you join me in prayer as I word up our concerns? Our Father, for this opportunity, we are grateful for the opportunity of worship, of praise, of meditation. We are grateful for the opportunity of not so much drawing aside, but of having the opportunity of focusing in on our true concerns and our relationship to Thee. Help us to see in the midst of our learning, our education, that our relationship to Thee is ultimate. Help each one of us here, help each student to gain the utmost in knowledge, but always bathed in the right spiritual understanding and right relationship with Thee. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
As a denomination, we Baptists owe a great debt to the Methodists. The time when John Wesley began preaching in England, our Baptists were at a low ebb. But he brought an evangelical fervor and spirit that we hope still characterize our people. Also, many of us owe personal debts to the Methodists and members of our family, or opportunities we've had to worship and share with them or to study in their schools. And so we're especially honored this morning to have the pastor of the Methodist Church here in Wake Forest, the Reverend Russell Stott, as our speaker. Mr. Stott is a native of Eastern North Carolina, the son of a Methodist minister, and so has many homes. He's a graduate of Pfeiffer College, did his theological training at Chandler School of Theology, and is a doctoral candidate at the University of Emory. It's a great joy to have Mr. Stott in our community and in our chapel service. Blessings on you, Dr. Mr. Stott.
Thank you. I have looked forward to even coming in this fine chapel and being a part of a tradition of worship with you. And I look forward to it with anticipation and yet with fear as all of us face the Word of God in the pulpit. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, let the thoughts and the words of thy servant express the gospel of love of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I would like to read for you a passage of Scripture from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Then he said, Do not come near. Put off your shoes from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. May God enrich our own lives by the daily truth we find in His Word. As I look back on my seminary days and the early appointments I had afterwards, I remember how some of the fellow students I studied and worked and played with, how they reacted on their first charges. And it grieves me to no end that some of them went out upon the world to serve, but they wanted to serve themselves. They went out primarily to be remembered. I know one boy who went to a church in North Georgia, a little wooden structure that was 50 years old and whose roof was leaking badly, and he decided that his name should be remembered in connection with an air conditioning plant. And so he air conditioned a little wooden leaky roof structure. I know of a man who did not visit much. He stayed in his ivory tower, and after earning a master's and wanting to earn a doctorate but quitting, he stayed in his study and reworked his sermons and polished them until they seemed to glow like gems, like veritable words of wisdom, because he wanted to be remembered as a man of great oration. Now, our desire to be remembered is natural enough. There is nothing wrong in wanting to be remembered, but so much of our error comes into play when we decide for what we want to be remembered. Yes, even God wanted to be remembered. And as we read this passage of Scripture from Exodus, the theophany of Moses and God, we find that God says, "Thus is my name forever and ever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." Perhaps we can get a cue from this passage how we should attempt to be remembered. First of all, we cannot overlook the fact that God was certainly remembered by Moses as a man, as a God-man of mighty acts. He saw a bush burning and it would not consume itself. And he says, "I must turn aside to see this marvelous thing, this great thing." And yet God did not leave him with the spectacular. God went on. In fact, when he saw Moses approaching, he said, "Moses, take off your shoes. Don't come near. This is holy ground." And Moses, aware that God was present and afraid, as were his brothers of his time, to look upon the face of God, he fell down and would not look upon the face of God. And then God began to speak. He began to identify himself as the God of the fathers. And then, of all strange things in history, why God should choose a rabble race of slaves in Egypt to bring up. Why he should pick Moses, a man who had already killed. But amazing grace that God can pick a people, a man, he can pick us. And so he picked Moses and said, "I have not heard by hearsay, but I have seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have felt their lashes. I have felt the burden under which they labor, and I want to do something about it. So I'm coming down to lift my people up." And then Moses wanted to know who this God was. He said, "Now look, I can go back and talk to my people about God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, but who are you really?" And so God said, in that enigma of all enigmas, "I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I shall become what I need to become." All these translations might be possible. And then with this subtle "I am," the living God not giving a name, but say, "I am in existence. I am living. I am the only living God." And then we can find true meaning in the name of God. "And this," he says, "is my name forever and ever. And thus I want to be remembered." Here was a God who was not satisfied in being remembered for the great deeds that he did, or the mighty acts, or the spectacular. But he wanted to be remembered for three things. A God who looked down and saw the needs of men. A God who came down to lift them. And a God who is, who's living. Let us move onward in history several years, faster than the mind can imagine, to a man named Jesus Christ. to a place called Golgotha, a holy place. A holy place where we would not want to be. A place where a man was lifted up and born on a cross and died. As Isaiah said, he had no form of comeliness that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. When we see the living God coming down to man and saying, I love you so much, I want to save you. And we see the results of a man hanging on a cross, we dare not look at that. We are afraid that we might die. And yet as we look up to Jesus Christ, we find that here is a name to be remembered. Jesus, I will save. Christ, the anointed one of God, the Messiah. It is no wonder that we as ministers, when we go out to fulfill a program, to answer what we think is a need, we fail to remember the living Lord as he should be. We're building up our own memories and our own glory. And unlike Paul, we perhaps have not been able to say this. When I came to you, I declared the attested truth of God without display of fine words or wisdom. I resolved that while I was with you, I would think of nothing but Jesus Christ, Christ nailed to the cross, so that your faith may be built not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. We want to be remembered, but brethren, let us be remembered as knowing Jesus Christ and him only. Let us know that the God has come down to us and has lifted up a man on the cross that we might all have life, life abundantly, life eternally. Let us pray. O God, help us to behold the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Let us say that our richest gain we count but loss and pour contempt on all our own pride. Forbid it, Lord, that we should boast save in the death of Christ our God. All the vain things that charm us most, O God, we sacrifice them to thy blood. Amen. And God of the cross be with you to make your ministries fulfilled. Amen.